Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's get back into this message series with Pastor Rogers. Let's go back into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
One of the hardest things for the church to do is to admit its own need of revival. You ask somebody beside you today, how are you doing spiritually? I'm fine. I'm good. I almost have grown to hate that term. Whenever somebody, you ask them, how are you doing? I'm good. Well, that's great. But many times they're lying through their teeth. Because there's something that's going on inside of their life that they know right now that the only way they're going to survive it is because God is going to step into their situation. And I'm glad if you're good, and that's good, but don't put on some pretense to think that you don't need a revival inside of your house. I am standing here today as the pastor of this house and the leader of this flock to tell you that this church, like so many other churches, are in such need of the fresh breath of the move of God that we better not be arrogant and say to God, we're good, God. I want you to know we're not good. We need God's Holy Ghost power. We need to repent before heaven and earth. We need to put on sackcloth and ashes until our sons and daughters are broken out of the whorehouse and the drug house and the bondage of life. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a revival like we've never needed one before. Oh, and it's hard to get people to admit it. Because as long as they keep getting their stimulus check, I'm good. But I don't know how much you think $600 is going to buy you. I know the other day Walmart was loaded out and they were hauling the TVs out as fast as they could. It's a shame to buy a $600 television and not have any internet or DirecTV to hook it up to. Better buy you some antenna. We're at a foolish place where materialism has overcome our spirituality. Preach, Pastor. I'll say amen to myself today. Satan hates revival. And I'm not talking about a series of meetings. He hates revival. He does everything he can to sabotage it. That's the reason right now that the enemy sees the upper hand he feels. He feels like he's got the upper hand because now we're going to shut churches down. We're going to fragment everybody. We're going to isolate everybody. We're going to push everybody in their corner and you can't get together, but the devil is alive. If they did it in the book of Acts and they were killing them with a sword and beheading them, then ladies and gentlemen, let the church of this hour step up to the occasion. If we don't do it, then we are disgracing our forefathers who laid down their life for revival. Hear me today, church. Satan hates revival because he knows what it can do in your marriage. He hates revival because he knows what it can do in your church. He hates revival because he knows what it can do in society, in your life. Satan's desire is to let you go to church. He don't care if you go to church. Go every night. Please don't think that because you're a Christian, somehow you've got this thing down pat because Muslims pray more religiously than most Christians do. Hindus pray more than most Christians do. All religions pray somehow. Even the atheist will pray to himself. But there's a difference between all of that and us. When we call on the name that is above every other name, our God is alive. And I promise you this morning, he is not going to let his church die while he's still alive. Now, you may not think you're dead, but I want to let you know, for the believer, it is critical in this hour, because what the world sees right now and the enemy sees is an opportunity to pounce and reduce the church down until they look at the cross, the world does, and say, look, your God's a failure. But the Bible says in Romans 1:16, for those of us who know what the cross means. It is the power of God unto salvation. You didn't hear what I said. What the world calls a failure, God calls success. Our God is a God of resurrection. Our God has not forgotten you. And in Ezekiel 37, the prophet Ezekiel is taken out in the spirit realm to show what is the prophetic event of the regathering of the nation of Israel. It is a picture, it is a direct prophecy to the nation of Israel. That the nation of Israel would be regathered back together. And when they do, they will stand up once again as an exceeding great and mighty army. May 14th, 1948, Israel stood back up as a state. How do we know we're living in the last days? Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the last days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because unprecedented, now America and other nations have acknowledged that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel. Moving our embassy to the city, the capital city of Jerusalem for the United States, is a tremendous event that has taken place. And all of these culminate to help Israel to see that resurrection take place. At the same time that it is speaking directly to the nation of Israel, spiritually speaking, it is speaking to the church and to us as believers. It wasn't easy being a prophet during the time of Ezekiel. Imagine being the prophet Ezekiel and tasked with this awesome vision of walking down through this valley in the theater of his mind and seeing this horrible, dead, dry, hopeless, lifeless army of bones that were scattered all over. He walked through that battlefield. It was a battlefield of bones, because there was all kinds of parts of pieces and parts decayed and dry. Hundreds of thousands of bleached out dry bones left on the battlefield. No longer are they in order. No longer are they standing up. But they are scattered and dry and isolated. In fact, the Bible describes that they were very dry, meaning that they had been in that state for a while. Anything that is fragmented, anything that is divided, hear me, America and church, anything that is divided and fragmented loses its ability to stand. Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln, who called this nation to prayer in the middle of the Civil War, and now they're saying there is the potential of a second Civil War. And he called a nation to fasting and prayer and described it and said that the house divided, quoting the scripture, against itself cannot stand. I want you to know something. A church, a family, a person who is divided and fragmented will not be able to stand in the hour that we're in. In the church, the great emphasis is placed throughout the Word of God on unity and agreement that becomes your strength. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is that brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil that flows down upon the beard, even to the skirts of Aaron the high priest. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He said, whenever you get together in agreement and unity, whether it's with yourself and God, with you and your spouse, you and your family, you and your church, you and your nation, wherever that agreement is, I will pour out my spirit upon that location. Disagreement is disobedience. And these bones in this dry bone society that we're in right now, dry and very dry, dry bone churches. It's no wonder that I've heard that some pastors are simply turned it over to let people watch videos week after week and not have service inside of buildings. I want you to know that this is a very dangerous time that we're living in. where the enemy could take advantage of you and your house. And for those of you, here's the problem. For those of you that have walked with the Lord and you've known the Lord for years and decades, there is more of a responsibility that is laid upon the previous generation that have experienced the touch of God in your life than those that are just coming out of the harvest. And I want you to know that it's work. It's hard work. And it's going to get harder between now and the coming of the Lord because it's not going to be real fashionable. How do you know that? Because in California, they arrested 900 people for exposing themselves without a mask in a community of people. They said, none of you churches are going to be able to have church out here. And so while the governor is eating dry bones, and he wants the state to become dry bones, hundreds of thousands of people are moving out of California because they can't take it anymore. That's the reason why I pray for the pastors of California that no matter what's coming down, we are now at the point, ladies and gentlemen, where if the church better rise up and be filled with the Spirit and not allow the dictates of this world to cause us to be dry church. In this dry bone society, dry bone churches, it speaks to us in verse 2, if you want to follow it down quickly as I give this to you this morning, what the Lord has given to me. The first thing that's got to happen is that we've got to be willing to admit and confess our own condition. Verse 2, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out. Verse 1, and the Spirit of the Lord, and he sat me down in the midst of the valley, was as full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. God said, I want you to see your own condition, not what somebody else's condition is. Compared to other people, you might look pretty good, but compared to Jesus, you need some help. The Bible says, Paul said, don't compare yourself with yourselves. If you're going to do any comparison, you need to say, Lord, where am I at on your scale? Where am I at with you? Where is my prayer life where it needs to be? Is the word of God real inside of my heart? Am I filled with the Spirit? Am I alert with oil in my lamp in this hour? Because the most dangerous and difficult thing to do is to admit and confess our own condition, that we need Jesus. We see ourselves as we really are. When we see it the way God does, a form of what could be. He sees us and God sees us and he's trying to communicate to us, I've got to have power inside of my church, not just going to church and through the forms, not just singing a few songs and hearing a sermon and walking out the door. The church, listen very carefully, the church is the only organic creation of God that stands in the way of Satan's complete control right now. So dry pulpits make for powder in the pew. And the reality of our calling is not to prophesy another blessing upon one another, but to see the valley of dry bones in this society, in the church and out of the church, and affect change. We are to be salt and light. The influence of that world should not be more on us than we are on it. We've got to see the world and the church the way God sees it. And I know we don't want to admit this, but I'm telling you, if we had the power of God flowing in our churches like we need to, we would see signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, let's quit trying to fake this thing. We know when it's real and we know when it's not. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know when it's real, and the last thing you want is a faker. Come on. I don't need a faker. I don't need somebody who's got a little earpiece in their ear telling me to stretch out my short leg. I need to know, is the power of God here? Is he real? And if he is, then God said, I'll use believers, not professional, believers to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Oh, Lord, that's what I'm looking for today, is where you walk down the mall and you're at the ball game or wherever you are and you agree with somebody in prayer and suddenly God sends the wind of his Spirit and there cause a resurrection. resurrection and a healing and a salvation to take place.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.